Well, I'll ask for your prayers again because I need the Lord's help. I believe that song. I believe we're given a privilege. It's not just an obligation, but it's a great privilege to trust the Lord. The song said, "How sweet the experience," and I trust that we found that to be so. I feel like the Lord had had me to try to conclude the burden that He gave me that I've shared this morning. In God we trust. Spoke about how that's our national motto. It's used and printed, and I'm thankful for it. But I'd love to see a lot more lives that are living by it. And I say, Lord, help mine to live by it, that it be more than words. Because this impacts so many areas of my life that I need to learn how to depend on the Lord. I need to learn how to trust in Him, to put my trust not in myself, but in the living God. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time recapping, but we talked about Asa and the Lord's the victory that the Lord gave him as he trusted in the Lord. We talked about Gideon and how the Lord gave a great victory to the children of Israel as he showed them that they were so helpless and so needy. Talked about how Jehoshaphat was faced with an overwhelming enemy. And how he set himself in the filling of that fear and realization of that reality. He set himself to seek the Lord. He and all of Judah, and they began to seek the Lord, and the Lord gave them a great victory. We close talking about Hezekiah. Whenever the enemy came and his messenger was bringing messages of doom and despair and doubts unto the people, unto the king himself, and Hezekiah received a letter that was written, spread it out before the Lord, and brought it to the Lord in prayer. And I pray that the Lord will impress very deeply upon our hearts the need and the privilege of trusting Him. I'd like to pick back up in scripture that we read this morning, found in Deuteronomy 20th chapter. Deuteronomy 20, in the first verse, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto the battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. When you're about to go up to the battle, remind the people of this." You know, we need to be reminded from time to time in our battles, because every battle is a new battle. Every day is a new day. And while we're to draw strength from the victories and the battles of the past, this is a new battle. And Lord, I need your help for this one. I need your grace and your strength to face this battle. I'd like to turn back now to Asa's life. And I want to pick up where we left off in Asa's story, found in 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter. Again, we read about how Asa cried to the Lord and said, "Lord, it's nothing with thee. Whether by many or those that have no power, help us, O God." And how the Lord did just that. And when the Lord gave them the victory so that the enemy could not recover themselves, we read how the kingdom had peace round about. You know, there's a danger in times of peace as well, that we not become complacent and careless. We can know whenever the battle is hot, whenever there's difficulty all around. God, I need you. Do you know we need the Lord just as much when things are going well? Just as much whenever we're not in the middle of the battle? Indeed, the enemy tries, if he can, to get us off guard in those times. I've likened it to this before. You ever take a rope or something that a dog wants, a playful dog, and you let them get it in their mouth and they realize there's a game of tug of war going on? Especially the bigger dogs, you really can't rip it out of their mouth. They've clamped onto it, they're holding it, they're not letting it go. You can pull and tug and work with it, but you know, if you slacken your grip, if you let up, many times the dog will do the same. And that gives you the opportunity to yank it out of its mouth. You think the enemy doesn't know just about every trick in the book? If he can slack off a little bit until we relax and let down our guard, and then just like that, he's on top of us. So we need the Lord. All right, so as we look at the continuation of Asa's life, 16th chapter, the first verse, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. After all these years of things going so well in his kingdom, here's a thorn in your side. Here's Baasha who's coming up to build a city that he intends to restrict your freedoms and your movement. And it said, then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. Now I want us to contrast this story with the one we read of Asa this morning. Asa, in the earlier years of his life, he didn't resort to the gold and the silver that came out of the temple of God to be able to incentivize, or maybe even say bribe, the king of another nation to come and rescue you. Instead, he cried unto the Lord and said, Lord, would you have mercy on us? Well, now some passage of years has taken place, a lot that's not written about that passage of time. But Asa now, whenever again an enemy is coming against him, starts resorting to something else. Maybe his own craft, or craftiness, his own ability to negotiate deals with other nations. And instead of coming and crying to the Lord, he went to Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, and said, would you come help us? Would you come rescue us? And it cost him something. It cost God's people something. He took out of the treasury of the Lord what belonged to the Lord in order to give this unto Ben-Hadad. You know, there's a better way. And when it comes to matters of trusting the Lord, I mention that that touches and cuts across many different areas of our lives. But sometimes people will look at this question of trusting the Lord, in God we trust, and say, well, is it really sinful? Can I put it in the language of what we're reading here? Is it really sinful for me to go to Ben-Hadad? Is it really sinful to try to be friendly with this other nation? Is it really sinful? You know, there's a deeper question. Is that the best way? Asa, you've already found a better way. Trust in the Lord. Depend upon the Lord to protect and defend you. Well, Ben-Hadad hearkened, and they went and basically chased the enemy off. And they were able to take of the goods of Ramah that Baasha had built, and they were able to build other cities. It looked like success, didn't it? By outward appearances, on the surface level, folks, we can resort to other paths apart from putting our trust wholly in the Lord our God. And it may look like it's successful or prosperous. I think about one place where it said of the children of Israel that God gave them their request, but he sent leanness to their soul. So was it worth it? Oh, Asa, was it worth it? Let's read in verse 7. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Remember, almost 2x the number that Asa had. Were they? And he's reminding him here, Asa, did you forget? Don't you remember how God came to your rescue against the Ethiopians and the Lubims? Don't you remember that? Yet, because thou relied on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. And then such a beautiful verse that follows. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Folks, the Lord sees us in our trouble, in our distress. Keep your heart fixed on the Lord, and the Lord will see you. The Lord won't forget you. But he went on to say, because thou hast done, herein thou hast done foolishly. Asa, it was foolish to depend on your own abilities here and not in the Lord. You've done foolishly, and hence, therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. Oh, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. But Asa, you relied on your own strength. And there's another indication we have of something that began to take place in Asa's heart. When Asa heard this beautiful message, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the, he wants to help you. His response to that was anger. And he took the seer and threw him into prison, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Asa, you did well. You did run well, Asa. What's happened to you in your latter years? No matter how many years we've been saved and sanctified and living for the Lord, we need the Lord. We need to depend upon him. We see a few other indications of Asa's life. Asa, so he's drawing to the close of his life. Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet, in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Asa, what's happened? Asa, it used to be that the Lord was the one that you turned unto. When you were in need and in trouble, you called upon the Lord in prayer. And you said, oh Lord, my God, as we read. Asa, what's happened? Where is God in your thoughts now when you're in distress? Do you realize and remember our God is a God that is over nature? Our God is a God that is over sickness and disease. The same God that saved us is the same God that's able to heal us. The same God that saved us is the same God that's able to keep us all the way until the end. Put your trust in the Lord. What privilege given to look to the Lord in prayer for our needs. Psalms, the 33rd chapter. (clears throat) 33 and 16. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. You know, that was the best they had. Be kind of like us saying as a nation, nuclear weapons are a vain thing to trust in. Our fighter jets, our Marines, and the Navy and all, they're a vain thing for safety and protection of a nation. They're saying unto him at this time, the horses and the chariots and your mightiest weapons of war are really a vain thing to trust in. But he said, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and upon them that hope in his mercy. Our soul waiteth for the Lord, verse 20. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. 20th chapter of Psalms, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots, and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord, our God. Folks, no matter what others do, let's fix it in our hearts. Lord, no matter what other people do, Lord, I'm gonna remember your name. No matter where other people turn for their help, Lord, as for me, by your grace, I'm going to remember your name whenever I'm in trouble. Lord, whenever I'm fearful, whenever I'm stressed, whenever I'm panicked, Lord, I'll remember your name. I'll remember the might and the power that's in your name. When I need deliverance and help and healing and comfort, Lord, I'll remember your name. No matter what others do, Lord, help us to remember the name of the Lord. Isaiah, the 30th chapter. Isaiah brings something out, I believe, is pertinent to what we're talking about. Isaiah 30 and 1, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Woe to those who haven't asked of me. They forgot the name of the Lord. And instead they went down like Asa did in his latter years, to Syria or to Egypt, the representative of the natural help of men. Of course, Egypt being a type of sin. Folks, we don't have to go down to the ways of sin for our help. Our help cometh from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. (15) For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall you flee. You'll have to flee. And we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. Oh, there's a better way than trusting to our own arm of strength. To trust instead in the Lord in quietness and in confidence. Just fixing it in the Lord. And you know what? Having trust in God really is. It's not as much about making a big demonstration. It's not as much in bold declarations and statements as it is a quiet confidence in the Lord that is unshaken through thick and thin, through health and through sickness, that my faith in God is not shaken, that I know that God is unchanged through all of that. There is a quiet confidence the Lord wants us to have in Him. The 31st chapter says, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet He also is wise and will bring evil, will not call back His words, but will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit." You know, it's important for us to realize the difference between man and God. The difference between what I'm able to do what God is able to do. The difference between what trusting in man can yield and what trusting in God can yield. He's pointing out to them, he's not discrediting that they don't know anything. Their horses, they can't do it. They don't know anything about war. But what he's telling them is there's a better way. The best that this world has to offer you is just like their flesh. They're men. They're not spirit. They can't minister unto the spirit of man. They can't give you something to stand with that quietness and assurance of the soul. There's a better way. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. I'd like to look, before we close, at 1 Chronicles 21. Remember what David said? Some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. As with Asa, there came a time in David's life that David got into trouble. Like to look at that. 21 and 1 of 1 Chronicles. "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, 'Go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it.' And Joab answered, 'The Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my lord the king, are they not all the Lord's servants? Why then does my Lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?'" You ever think about this story? What was the big deal about counting Israel? What's the big deal about taking a census? Didn't Jesus even say a man that's going to go out to battle sits down first and counteth whether he has sufficient to go to battle? So what was the even... Joab recognized here, "David, O king, why are you going to do this thing? Why are you going to be a cause of trespass to Israel? Don't you realize, David, it doesn't matter how many you have, whether few or many, they're all the Lord's. Trust in the Lord." Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. So Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and all Jerusalem. But if you read through this passage, the Lord was very grieved with David for what he had done. Now, there was a time that the Lord believed had Moses take a census of the people. It wasn't that counting people is a bad thing to do. But the Lord, the one who says his eyes go to and fro through the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him, looked upon David in this situation and saw that his heart was not perfect towards him in this. That David, whatever was motivating it, perhaps it was his pride, or perhaps he was beginning to rely some upon his own military prowess. Let's go out and let's number. You know what you do after you number your army? Well, let's compare against the Philistines or the Assyrians, and let's kind of compare numbers here. Who are we able to go up against, and who do we need to steer clear of? That's not what's to guide our judgment and our decisions, but trusting in the Lord alone. Lord, wherever you lead me, I'll follow, whether by few or by many. Like Jonathan said, I believe, when he went up into the garrison of the Philistines, when Jonathan and his armor bearer said, "Come on up, it's nothing with the Lord, whether by few or by many, to deliver them into our hands." And the Lord did just that. Well, the Lord, I believe, wants us to realize, and for the same reason that he dealt with Gideon, don't take 32,000, even though you're still, I'm guessing, 10 to 1 or more outnumbered, you still have too many. You get rid of all but 300 of those, and now you go forth to battle, because I want you to know, beyond any doubt, that it is not your own strength that's going to give you the battle. It's not your own grace that's going to help you through. It's not your own willpower that's going to be able to hold you until the end. We're nothing without the Lord. So I want to encourage us to remember the Lord our God. This may come up at different points of our lives where we're tempted to resort unto our own arm to bring deliverance, where I'm not getting the answer that I need as quickly as I think I need it. Well, I got to do something. I got to step in here. I got to take over. Lord, help us to trust. Be still and know that I am God. Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, in closing. You remember what Jesus said when he was talking about the widow and the unjust judge, and how that widow importuned, kept knocking and knocking, and Jesus teaching that we ought to be that way. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. He said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man returns to earth, shall he find faith?" You know, in a modern age, there is a particular danger to our faith. The more we know or think we know, the less we as mankind think we need God. The more that is at mankind's disposal to do for us, the less we feel a need to turn to God in prayer. But the Lord doesn't want to be our last resort. He doesn't want to be our second or third or ninth choice down the line. When everything else has failed, I turn to the Lord. He wants to be the one that we turn to in our distress. Jeremiah chapter 17, the 5th verse. "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited." It's not a very pleasant picture. Lord, I don't want my spiritual tree. I don't want it to be like a little spindly shrub that's just barely holding on to life. Like a tree that's planted in the desert and in the salt plains. But it says in verse 7, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord." told you is a blessing. How a privilege to trust in the Lord. In God we trust. What a privilege. How happy is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Which tree do we want to be like? In whom today do we trust? It's about more than a slogan or a bumper sticker. It's about more than the words that we say. But when we put ourselves in God's care, when we trust in God, it will bear fruit in our daily life. Decisions I make from day to day, in the workplace, in situations I deal with throughout life, there will be a difference when I look to the Lord and trust in God for my help. Don't wait until you get to the big things. Don't wait until it's something so insurmountable. You know, the Lord wants to build and develop our faith in the small things. Learn to trust in God for the smallest of details in your life. Those ones that you might look at and say, I got this. You know, if it doesn't turn out well, no biggie. I can deal with it. Lord, help us to learn to trust Him in the smallest of situations, so that when I do face the tragic news, my foundation won't be shaken. Because my trust is in the Lord. Those roots have been going down like by the river. And I've been learning to lean. I've been learning to depend on the Lord, so that when the hurricane winds do come, the tree's still standing. It may bend. It may sway. But it comes back. And it's still standing. So Lord, help us to be some of those who the Lord, when He returns, can say, yes, I have found faith on earth. I have found faith in some people on earth. You pray for me that I'd be faithful and put my trust in the Lord. Amen.